Word, very powerful word that the Lord gave Sammy. So the message this morning is why speaking up is important. Let's get myself ready here. At the moment, for those of you that live in Scotland, you will know that the Scottish government is working on something called hate crime. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to put through a bill. And if you look up on the Scottish government website, they say the hate crime bill seeks to modernise, consolidate and extend existing hate crime laws, ensuring it is fit for the 21st century. So they are trying to make a bill here for the 21st century. This is a problem that we have, because the problem with this bill is that there is a very high likelihood in this current state that it will prohibit free speech. This will impact us as Christians, this will impact a lot of people. And what is being proposed is up to 7 years in prison because of words spoken. So it's a serious thing. That is in Scotland. There's many, many efforts around the world, which I'm sure you're aware of. And the enemy is trying to muffle our voices. We are supposed to all have free speech. We're supposed to have it as a human right. But increasingly, also in the West, not just in what we consider close countries, Christians are finding it more and more difficult to be able to speak the word of God. And there is a suppression going on because the enemy is trying to control. The enemy does not want the word of God to go forth. And it's like we are being muffled. The Christian Institute are warning that in the current state, this particular bill in Scotland, none of the options will adequately protect the right to speak out on issues such as sexuality or the radical gender ideology. So these are really serious matters, and they significantly impact young people, children, the next generation. And what we are seeing is an attempt of the Jezebel spirit to corrupt the next generation. I hope that's really clear to you. I hope that's really clear. So, for example, if it goes through as they are pushing for it, it would mean that if you disagree with something like same-sex marriage, it becomes a crime. It becomes a crime. So there's many things happening in our society. Another one which is of deep concern to us as believers is this ongoing sacrificing of children, sacrifices of the unborn. Human lives that are being sacrificed. In 2019 in Scotland, there were 13,583 unborn children deliberately killed, because that's what it is. That is what it is. We don't have the final numbers for 2020 yet. I can't find it anywhere. But very interestingly, if we look at the numbers which you are fed through your media every single day, every day you are fed a number of how many people have died from COVID-19. But there's no mention of those lives that are deliberately killed. And those numbers for 2020 is twice the number of COVID-19. So twice the number of COVID-19 in this nation had been deliberately, their life has been ended for the convenience of someone else. Yesterday was a milestone day, a very sad one, 52 years of abortion in the United Kingdom. Yesterday. 9,446,068 lives have been taken since 1967. That is 20 lives every hour. Deliberately. Who gives human people the right to do this? This is not right. It used to be considered a crime. Now it's big business. One of the major companies, Mary Stopas International, the chief executive earned $434,000 per year. What kind of society is this? You can look these numbers up yourself in Company House. More than 300 million of taxpayers' money has been given to this company. We must speak up. We have a duty to speak up. There was a pro-life student that put out a tweet saying, this was his opinion, he said, abortion should be reduced to when a woman's life is at risk. He immediately was told to take it down. And he was removed from his role as president of the student union. Although he had been elected in a fair way. The universities in the United Kingdom used to be known as a place of freedom of speech, but young people were encouraged to practice the art of debating and discussion. But what we see now is waves of suppression. Yes, you can speak, but only if you have a certain opinion. This is not right. This is very important as you consider the young people and the next generation. Do you know, as a parent, you don't own your children? A mum-to-be does not own the life that she's carrying, because Father God has created each person with a destiny and a purpose. As parents, we have been entrusted by our Creator to care for the young lives until they come of a certain age. But we do not own these lives. The scripture teaches us life is very precious. Life of all kinds is precious. People understand that when it comes to whales and when it comes to elephants. But let us not forget the human race. So is there anything new about Christians being prohibited from speaking up? If you think about the first century Christians, you don't need to go very far. You think of John the Baptist. He spoke up, didn't he? Off comes his head. Literally, they cut his head off. Why? Because he spoke the truth. He spoke the truth. I've read interestingly about the first century Christians that they were being accused of being atheists. And I thought, how can they be accused of being atheists? But at the time, it was because they rejected all the pagan gods. And so on that day, that was considered an atheist. They were considered to be antisocial and nonconformist because they wouldn't attend the Colosseum and delight in the slaughtering of innocent people. They would not go to the temple of Diana or Venus, and they would not put on incense on the altar and pray for the empire before there would be a battle. They just didn't fit in. They didn't fit in, and so they were persecuted. What does the Bible teach? What does the Bible teach? The Bible has never changed. The Word of God has not changed, and it defines to us what sin is. We can look at the very famous words, Romans 3:23, you will be familiar with, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As human beings, there's not a single one of us that can meet God's standard. Only Jesus lived without sin. Praise God. I want to draw attention to the Gospel of John in chapter 3, starting from verse 17. These are the words of Jesus Christ. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. This is what we are seeing here, is some of these bills. They say put it into the 21st century, but God says he has already defined. He is our creator, and he has defined for us what our conduct should be. And moving away from the light and hiding in the darkness changes nothing. Changes nothing. Now, the Bible is good news. The gospel is good news. And there is an amazing passage of scripture in the book of Romans, and it's Paul that brings these words forth in such a profound way. I would like us to look at Romans 7:17, and this is Paul writing, where he says, "But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." And here we see this revelation that Paul has, where when God looks at a person, there is a separation of the person and the sin. Human beings tend to just look at another human being and judge them based on what they see, what they do, what they say, etc. But God, when he looks, he's able to separate out the person and the sin. God loves the person, but God hates the sin. The New Living puts it like this, the same verse. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. It's quite a profound statement here. This is important for us as we speak out. We must be grounded in the word of God. That's the word that the Lord gave Sammy about. God's people cannot be ignorant of the word of God. We have to have this understanding. Because as we speak, we also speak in love. We speak in love. You see, every human being is created in three parts. Just to remind you, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it talks about we are made spirit, soul, and body. We are made in three parts. And as we are born again, we are sanctified. Sanctified means to be set apart. Now let's take a simple example from life. Ladies can have a dress, but there is special dresses. For example, there is a wedding dress. A wedding dress is like a sanctified dress. It's set apart for a specific purpose. And that is the word that is used here about being sanctified, to be set apart. It means it's for a special, glorious purpose. And God wants us to be set apart for him. So Paul made it really clear here that sanctification is the work of God in us. He is the one that's doing it. It's supernatural. Yeah, It's kind of mysterious at first for a mind to get around it, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So when we are born again, our spirit is instantly made alive. But before, our spirit was dead. our body, if you go and check the mirror, you're the same. Same hair, same feet, same hands, same. The soul is the same. And so the soul, which is our emotions and our feeling and our thoughts, and the human being, as you think of that person, is the soul. And so that soul, we need to work on our salvation. The scripture tells us this is our sanctification. This is a process. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So we are made new when we are born again. A spirit is new. The old has gone. And so also in scripture, Paul talks a lot about the new man and the old man, meaning the old man is like the flesh, is the old way of living, while the new person is the new born again person in us. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So as you commit your life to the Lord, it's the Holy Spirit that bears witness inside of us that we are the children of God. And the scripture tells us that the way that we can just check how we're doing in our progress is by the Word of God. Because the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And in James 1:23-24, if anyone is a hearer of the Word, this is the Word of God, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And so in Scripture we have this concept that the Bible is our spiritual mirror by which we can see how we are really, truly doing. So it's important to speak up. But as we do so, let us learn to look at people and to see as God sees. When God looks at people, he sees the person. And he's able to separate the sin out. He's made a provision for that sin to be forgiven. He does not ignore sin. Sin cannot be ignored. None of us can ever get into heaven with any sin. It is just not possible. It is not possible. And none of us can pay the price of sin ourselves. Only Jesus can pay the price. So sin cannot be ignored, but the price has been paid for it. This is why it's good news. The price has been paid, but a person has to receive that salvation. So when we look at people, we have good news. We don't hide over sin. We preach the word, and the Lord is able to save people. When we are born again at first, we don't always fully understand. But that is in the natural as well. I mean, what recollection do you have of your first year as a baby? Probably not any. I would question that you would be able to remember that, because even a baby is just coming to terms with the fact that they actually are a human being. It takes time. And so it is when you are born again. There is a process that takes place as you are born again. I think a good example in scripture of this whole process and how to view people and what the way forward is when they brought the woman that was caught in adultery to Jesus. Don't you just love that story? Don't you love the way the Lord knelt down and to her eye level and ministered and spoke to her? John chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, he said to her, this is after all the accusers had gone, he said, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has not one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Do you see the words of Jesus? Jesus is not condemning her. That's what we just read early on in the Gospel of John, that Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, I came to save. So he said, I don't condemn you. But then he said, go and sin no more. When you become born again, he gives you power to live differently. Yes, it's a process, but he gives us power by the Holy Spirit. There should be a transformation taking place. He said, go and sin no more. This is the full gospel, not just the first part, that he doesn't condemn the sin in the woman, but that he says, go and sin no more. I think that is such a beautiful picture. It is our job to reach people when they are stuck in the net. Remember the vision that Sammy just shared with us. She said she saw Satan dragging a net behind him, and there were people that were caught in this net. And the Lord said, talking about the devil, that he is snaring the ignorant. So ignorance is no excuse, because the word of God stands regardless of your level of knowledge. So he's snaring the ignorant. People must be vigilant and knowledgeable of my word. So you and I, we are called and we are anointed to speak the word of God. It is our job to reach the people that are caught in that net. That's our job. Jesus is no longer here. He's in heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit and he's chosen to work through us. It's amazing how God works. It's amazing. It's a privilege to be called to be working in the kingdom of God. This week I've had two people that phoned me and said, the Lord told me to phone you to tell you blah, blah, blah. How is that? How is that? That the Holy Spirit tells people to go and phone a Christian and say this, this, and this. Well, that is actually scriptural, because Cornelius was told to go and speak to Peter. So in scripture, over and over again, God chooses to use human vessels. He chooses human vessels. Our job is to preach the gospel. It is how he set it up. The scripture says he works through the foolishness of our preaching. Yes, we are not perfect in how we do it, but he works through us. He saves people. It's our job. It's important to speak up. It's important to speak the word of God. It's important to bring that hope to the people around you. If you're born again, you are anointed for this. It's your calling. This is why you're here. If God didn't need you, he could have snapped you home into safety a long time ago. You're still here on this earth because there's a reason. Don't you get it? There's a reason. You have a purpose. It's this way that God has sent it up. We are his hands and his feet, and we are his mouthpiece. We are his mouthpiece. Why is God warning us just now? It's because Satan knows his time is short. And so he's putting up lots of snares for people. He's putting lots of snares up to catch people. He's been at this for a long time. He has no compassion. But God is compassionate. God is all powerful. But every person has a free will to choose. Why do people fall in the snare? Very often it's because they have been falling into ungodly beliefs, negative programming. Negative programming which is not according to scripture. Oh, I'm no good. I can't do this. What's happening? They're looking at themselves. They're looking at their own ability. Rather than looking at the cross and looking at what Jesus has done. Jesus has done it for you, my friend. Jesus has already done it. He's made a way for every situation, the scripture tells us. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant of his devices. And also Ephesians 6:11, put on the full, whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's why the Lord spoke and said that we are not to be ignorant, and we need to know the word of God, because the devil has got lots of snares out. If we know the word of God, put on the full armour. So what are the steps? It's very simple, really. The first one is the recognition of sin in our lives. The second one is repentance. This is where we come before the Lord and say, forgive me. And this is for those that have never done it before, and for those of you that are walking with the Lord. We should be constantly asking God to search us and have a repentant heart for when we fail. It's not that we're walking around focusing on sin, but we walk in a humble attitude before the Lord, knowing that all have sinned. And that it's a daily process of sanctification, but God is polishing you up. You are like a diamond. He's polishing you up every day. He's making you closer and closer to the end product. So first one is recognition, the second one is repentance, and the third one is walking it out, learning to walk it out. Every day we are practicing it. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Jesus said he didn't come to condemn the world. Condemnation is that kind of vague, horrible feeling where you get that makes you feel totally useless and worthless. And this is what the devil does to people. Ah, you're no good. Nobody loves you. You can't do this. All negative, negative programming. That is condemnation. It doesn't have any specific thing for you to go and repent of. It's just pulling you down. That's what the enemy does. While the Holy Spirit, he comes with conviction. He comes with specific, and he points out who you are called to be, who God has made you. He brings out your purpose and your value, and that Jesus has paid for your price, and you immediately want to, oh yes, I want to get rid of that sin. I want to receive the forgiveness of God, and I want to move on. I want to move into that which God has called me to. You see, the two are the opposite, because the condemnation pulls you down. By the conviction, if you follow the Lord, you will be lifted up. You will be cleansed, and you will be made whole. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so when we are called to speak out, we are not called to bring the condemnation, because people, the scripture that we read, Jesus said, they're already condemned. They're already condemned because they already know in their heart. But we bring the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's the way, the truth, and the life. That is what we bring to the people. And it's the Holy Spirit that brings the conviction. Don't try to do the work of the Holy Spirit. You're never going to be able to do anything as good a job as the Holy Spirit does, and it's not your role. It's not in our job description, people. It's not in your job description. Check it out. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. What is your goal statement in life? What was the goal statement that Jesus gave us? Jesus said this was his goal statement, and therefore it was his purpose in life, and therefore, as believers, this is now our purpose. Luke 4:18. This is our purpose. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. This is our goal statement. This is our purpose in life. This is why you and I are here. And what does it say? The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. We are anointed. You are anointed. I am anointed. You know, in the Old Testament, when somebody was called to be a king, the prophet would come with the oil and they would anoint the person. And that would trigger something. They would trigger this God-given DNA calling in their life and purpose, and they would get the strength to do it. So if you are a believer and a follower of Jesus, you are anointed. This is what the scripture says here. You are anointed to preach the gospel. He's given you the ability to do it. He's given you the strength to do it. Yes, we partner with him. We study the scriptures. We pray. We seek his face. But we are anointed to do that. This is what they are called to do. Who do people seek out when they are struggling? Who are your friends phoning during the lockdown? The people that feel depressed, who are they seeking out? When a person feels unwell, who do they seek out? Are they calling on the churches? It's very sad. We put out a prayer number on our Facebook, and we were so excited. We got teams ready to pray with people. Are people phoning? No. Why is that? Why are the people not going to the church for the answer? Why is that? When somebody's unwell, the old statistics I could find was, and this is like probably from year 2000 or something, when somebody was unwell, 50% would go to the doctor. 24% will look for the answer through magazines or the newspaper. I'm sure that 24% in today's Google age, probably there will be a higher percentage that just go online and seek it out. See, even your doctors and nurses will tell you now that people come and they've already self-diagnosed per Dr. Google. But this is what people do. 7% based on TV and radio, 5% went to friends, 5% looked in books, 4% on their courses, and 2% from pharmacists. Just interesting who people go to, who do they go to. And there's many good organizations out there that help people. I'm by no means belittling good organizations like the Samaritans and other people that do good work. I'm just saying, you and I, we are anointed. And because we've got the Word of God, this is not just a little plaster to cover over a wound. This is going to root cause. What is the root cause? Why? What's the root cause of the depression and the stress? What's the root cause? The Bible teaches us. And the Bible gives an answer to it. And the Bible teaches us how you can be totally restored rather than just covering something over. We are anointed to speak. We are anointed. God is equipping us for this. In the early hours of the morning, the Lord gave me a dream. I'm always very tickled when the Lord gives dreams because he's got such an imagination and such a sense of humor how he puts together dreams for us and what it means. And in this dream, it was just so clear that God has given us a new mantle. And this new mantle is full of fun, because the mantle had Mickey Mouse on it and things like that, just representing fun. But it's also full of divine grace and revelation. And it gives us strength for whatever we need to do. In the dream, the garment, the jacket had like sleeves up to here, but then the sleeve extended and it had you know these metal bits you get and you can bend them into whatever shape and form. So you can make it so it was like saying that the strength that you have will go in whichever direction and whatever is totally flexible. This is like a picture of the Holy Spirit working through us. Whatever, you are anointed for whatever the need is. If you go and meeting somebody and they are blind, you are anointed to open their eyes. If the need is a financial need, you are anointed for provision. You're anointed for provision. Do you know that? This is the year of transfer wealth, and God is transferring wealth from the wicked to the righteous. Why does he enrich us? Why does he bless us in many ways, including finances? It's so that we can be a blessing. So that when you meet somebody and they are in need, you can go, that's it. The Lord wants to bless you. That's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not necessary so I can have a Rolls Royce or something like that. Hey, but he blesses us so we can be a blessing. So this is what the Lord is saying, that it's like an adventure. It's full of fun. But it's also, it's a serious walk, but it's full of fun. It has this feeling of adventure and mystery, and we don't always know what the next steps are. But the Lord has anointed us, especially towards the people that don't know him yet. So they are like the spiritual new generation. And this is not an age thing, do you understand? This is like somebody that's not born again yet. When they come into the kingdom of God, they start off as babies in the kingdom. And the Lord has anointed us to lead them, to help them, to show them revelation, to build them up, to be part of the kingdom of God. I pray you'll be blessed this morning. This is why it's important to speak up, because you are anointed, you are called. And this is the day where we must speak up. Amen.